Our speaker tonight comes to us from Atlanta, Georgia, and I just met this gentleman about 30 minutes ago. But we do have a saying in AA that there are no strangers in AA, just friends we haven't met yet. And I'm sure when I was introduced to him a while ago, I met yet another friend. So I'll let him tell you about him. So if y'all will join me in welcoming Father Noel B.
See, I just proved I have power. Did you see that? My name is Noel, and I'm an alcoholic. It's an honest program, so I'm going to have to tell you a little something that happened to me today. I am a Catholic priest, and even when I speak at little meetings like this, I usually get dressed up. But this morning I got my little bag together. I'm only staying one night. I have a wedding tomorrow in Atlanta I have to get back to, so I figured I had it all, you know, packed up and got into the car, jumped into the car, and see, I got my black suit on here. See this? Got my black suit right here. My black coat is up in the room. But I got to Macon. I was going through Macon, and I was thinking, you know, you're wonderful. Now that you're sober, you don't forget things anymore, and it's great, you know. And I figured, my God, I forgot my collar. Oh, okay. So here I am. And I figured, well, listen, wait a minute. You know, the higher power worked this out. I'm sure I'm going to the beach. What do I want a collar for going to the beach, huh? So the higher power worked it all out, see? And anyway, my superior told me a long time ago, he said, I don't care what color you wear. Absolutely don't care what color you wear. As long as it's basic black. But he's not here. Like so many times in my drinking career, he wasn't there, you understand? So we don't need to worry about that. I'll be 5 years sober on Sunday, the 8th. Thank you. I like that. I mean, we're going to have a party on Sunday night. I think 5 is kind of special. But I have to tell you that when I got out of the treatment center that I went to, it was 6.5 years ago when I got out. Okay. So it's all right. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, you know. But it's been one day at a time, and I want to talk a little bit about that journey, and I also want to talk a little bit how, you know, this is a spiritual program. And I want to keep that very, very simple, because my spiritual program has to be very, very very, very simple, or I can't work it. And I'm 5 years sober, but those 5 years have been one day at a time. And that one day at a time is a power, you know. It's a power, and I appreciate that now today, that I have the power, or I have mostly the power, to live one day at a time. That's a power. I don't pray for strength anymore in my life, ever, or hopefully I never do. I don't even like the word strength. Sometimes in our little book here, 24-hour book, I love this little book, you'll come across the word strength in it, and I really don't like to use that word strength much anymore. I like to use the word power. Strength sometimes means that maybe I can do this on my own. That's what it means for me. Power means that I need, of course, a power greater than myself. So I like the word power when it comes to my program. I like to be able to use that word power. I have a lot of powers I want to talk about today, but one of the great powers that I have in my life is the power to live my life one day at a time. And I'm very grateful for that. I've got a lot of gratitude for that. A lot of gratitude that I'm 5 years sober also, but it's all come one day at a time. So I'm very, very grateful for that. And when I got out of the treatment center 6.5 years ago, I didn't do anything. I think that's very important. for us to remember that. I didn't do anything. When I was in the treatment center, they said, no, you have to go out there and you have to do things, you know? And I went out and I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything at all. I figured, you know, I'll be okay. I'll manage now. I just won't drink anymore. And within 4 weeks, I was into the bottle drinking. And it's because I didn't do anything at all. I went away and I figured, man, this is not for me. I can't do that. So I just didn't do anything. Now, I have a little theory that, you know, that if you are in a lot of pain and you have a program, you're going to be fine. There's going to be no problem. And like, one thing we all have in common, I believe, is that we all stopped drinking because we got into a lot of pain. On the way down, I was listening to a tape by a man who was a doctor, and he was talking about two doctors about getting into recovery. And he said the one thing that makes doctors get into recovery, and like I was listening to see what he'd say, was it, you know, that doctors are all around pills all the time and they're around drugs all the time and all that kind of stuff. That's not what he said. He said the one thing that gets doctors into trouble all the time is pain. And I said to myself, you know, that's what gets us all into trouble all the time. I wouldn't have come into this program only for the pain. You know, I used to say to myself, you know, now tomorrow I'm going to learn how to do this right. You know, I never drank right. You know, if I could only learn to do it right, why can't I drink right like everybody drinks right? You know, just, you know, a little drink and you'd be all right. So tomorrow I'm going to learn how to drink. I'm just going to take a little drink. But it never ended up that way. Tomorrow always brought a whole lot of drink into my life. So, you know, I have found out that pain plus program is okay. Pain minus program means that we drink again. Pain plus program is all right, though. I came out of treatment, I was in a lot of pain. See, I went into treatment had my first drink when I was 30. I had never had a drink before then. I went straight down the tubes. And I was always a geographic kind of person, running, you know. When I got all the pain, I'd go to the bishop and say, hey, I need a new assignment. He kept giving me new assignments. No problem. He would give me new assignments. Well, I ran out of assignments. You know, I ran out of places where he could send me. You know, and all I had was the bottle left. I couldn't run anymore. And so I had to go into treatment. I went into treatment in a lot of pain. When I came out of treatment, I was still in a lot of pain. So I said to myself, you know, I couldn't be an alcoholic. I had pain going in. I have pain coming out. So it must be something else. It might be like a dental problem I have, or I probably wear the wrong size shoes, you know. I have very, very broad feet. Maybe I'm buying too narrow shoes. So I went in pain, came out in pain. I figured, man, you know, it's not alcoholism, so I'll be able to drink. So I started to drink and went straight down the tubes. It was alcoholism. See? It was. So I found out right away that pain plus program is fine. You see, if you have the program grows and the pain goes down. That's what happens to us. It's wonderful. You get into this program, the program grows, and the pain goes down. But if you're like me and an alcoholic, and you come out of a treatment center, and you have no program, then the pain grows, you see. And you have to drink. You have to drink. The one reason we all stopped drinking, of course, the one reason we all, started to drink was the fact that we were in this terrible pain all the time. So, once we get into the program and the program grows, the pain diminishes. You're not going to be in any kind of problem if you have this program in your life every day because you know how to handle pain. I had a bad week last week. You know, we go to meetings sometimes and we say, oh, I had a bad day. I had a bad week last week. I was able to apply this program to my week, though, And it was okay. I had a few punches, you know. Sometimes you feel like you have to stand in the middle of the ring and get hit. You know, people say, oh, when will this go? When will this go? Sometimes you just have to take time. It just takes time before it goes. You have to stand there and be hit. Last week was that for me, but I had something. I had this program. I had this program, see, and I applied the program to my pain, and everything was okay. This too shall pass. That's what we mean when we say, this too shall pass. Now, when I came into the program, you know, the first thing that they said to me was, I said, listen, I feel so bad. And everyone who greeted me in the program, in AA, said to me, they said, well, what are you doing about it? And it dawned on me, you know, that this is an action program. Primarily, you and I are not a community of faith. Primarily. You know, a lot of people feel that, you know, that we are a community of faith. Are we a brotherhood of faith? But primarily, we're not a community of faith. Maybe secondarily, we're a community of faith. Primarily, you and I are a community of action. What are you doing? They said. Came into the program, they said, hey, what are you doing? You need to do things if you are going to get well. Oh, see? They used to tell me, they taught me all my life, think about it. You and I were taught to think about it. Sit down there and think about it. Well, the more I sat down and thought about my drinking, you know, the more I drank. You know, like I met this guy in AA and he was into a little marijuana. You know, but he said, I'm not drinking. Well, I said to him, what are you going to do about your marijuana smoking? He said, oh, I'm going to think about it. See? Well, I mean, he thought about it, and the next day I heard from him, he was into the bottle as well. You know, we have that little saying that you cannot think your way into sober living, that you live your way into sober thinking. It's terrific. That helped me so much. Someone gave me that in the program when I came first. You cannot think your way into sober living. You're going to sit there and think about it. You've had it. And that's what I did. You see, I came out and I said, I'm going to reason this. Now look, let's get this straight. I can reason this. And they said to me in AA very simply, remember we're talking about being simple. They said to me very, very simple, hey, what are you doing about it? And it took a while for that to sink in. I need to do things for me if I'm going to get well. And so I start to put the program together. Now that word program is very special. And don't forget, I want to talk a little bit about spirituality. That word program is very, very special to me. When I get up in the morning, the first word I use to myself, or most mornings anyway, you know, sometimes I forget, but the most part I don't want to forget. First thing I say to myself is program. Today, that means a lot to me. Right away, I have to get going in applying the program to my life. I have to get, and that means little simple things that I do. See the word do coming up? It's terrific. I have to do little things for myself every single day. That includes, you know, calling my sponsor maybe. We might talk about the Braves, and God knows there's not much to talk about, but... But I call my sponsor, we might talk about anything, but I do call them just about every day. You know, I have a few little minutes on my own when I try and look at the higher power. Just something small. And I don't mean driving to work. That's not enough for me. You know, sometimes I might, you know, you say it's okay for you. You live alone. You know, you got to do all that. Well, lock yourself in the John or something like that, you know. But you really need to be on your own. For a moment, a little moment, a few minutes with the higher power every day. Don't forget you're doing something. I'm doing something for me, so I have to sit down and get in touch with the higher power every day. You know, I have another little thing that I like to do. I sometimes take the 24-hour book and I look up the little meditation. I'll take a word out of there, or I'll take it out of the newspaper, or I'll take it out of the big book here. I'll take a word and I carry that little word with me. Like the word I got this morning out of a book I'm reading was the word unseen. Now, all that word does mean something in my prayer in the morning, but it bridges me during the day with the higher power. It bridges me. I take that word and I say, what's my word today? Oh, yeah, I'm not feeling too good. Okay. My word is unseen. Okay. Take the word unseen and it bridges me to the higher power. Action. Cannot think my way into sober living. I live my way into sober thinking. And I do that for me every day because sobriety was hard for me to find. It was real hard. Like, you know, I grew up in Ireland, in Dublin. I met a lady from Dublin, Georgia. It's great, you know. We're kind of sisters and brothers. I sent a letter to Dublin, Ireland one time. They sent it to Dublin, Georgia, you know them. But I grew up in Dublin, Ireland, you know, and a lot of drunkenness in my mother's family, and she never drank, and my father never drank, but my brother, we just had one brother, and he and I were alcoholics. He was an alcoholic from the time he could walk almost. I've been an alcoholic, as I say, went to the seminary and never drank there. I could have, if I wanted to, came out to the United States and for 5 years didn't drink. Then I took a drink when I was 30 and went straight down the tubes, you know. Went straight, I mean, my whole life changed like that. All my ideals were gone. All the things that I'd built up for myself were gone. All the enjoyment of being a priest was gone. It was just an amazing thing. It was just all taken away by drink. And, I'm sure a lot of you drank a heck of a lot more than I ever drank. A lot of you, you know, were in the program before you were 30, maybe, you know. But I only started drinking when I was 30, and still it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. It just doesn't make, you know, it's not age, it's not anything. It's just those feelings, you know, just destroys you inside. I couldn't do anything. My priesthood was gone. I guess I say I kept going to the superior and asked him for a new assignment. He'd give me the new assignment. That wouldn't work. Another new assignment. That wouldn't work. He was willing to do anything I wanted to do, but I just couldn't. And like, I never knew that it was alcohol. I never, you know, I thought everybody drank the way I drank. Because I lived alone, of course, and there's nobody to say to the priest, hey, you're drinking too much, and I drank late at night, and, you know, I just, that was my pattern of drinking, you know. Some of you lost a lot more than I lost. Some of you went to jail, perhaps, or lost your license. I never lost anything like that. But, you know, I had this inside pain growing all the time until I was totally paralyzed and all I could do was drink. You know, it's not what we do, or it's not all the time what we lose, it's how we feel. And when you feel awful, you know, you're wondering how can you put that feeling back. That's the pain. That's the pain in there. Now, the big book says to us, there is a solution. You know, in case any of you don't know that you can get well by reading the big book. You know, chapter 2 says, hey, there's a solution. You know? Like, there it is right there, page 17. You know, in case you don't know, like in case you're going around saying, I wonder how this thing works. Well, it's right here, you know? There is a solution, it's called. Right there. And in case you should miss the solution, it says in here, here is the solution. You know, in case you miss it. You know, a lot of us could read it and we could miss it. You know, it says, listen, in case you should miss it, here is the solution. See? And you say, okay, what is it? Okay, it says, we're going to tell you what it is. The solution is this, that you have to have a spiritual experience. That's the solution. That's for you and for me, for the high and the low. It doesn't matter who you are. There is a solution. What is the solution? The solution is a spiritual experience. Ah, you say. Now, what is a spiritual experience? Well, in case you should miss it, it says down here, it says fully explained, Appendix 2. That's page 569. In case you should miss it, you know? A lot of us say, well, that's junk. It says a spiritual experience, but that's for, you know, that's for ministers and priests and all that spiritual experience. Well, the big book says, well, we'll tell you what it is. So you turn to page 569. And this is the solution now. You know, like, you know, when AA was founded, they came together and said, we need to be spiritual. That's our problem. But we don't know how to be spiritual. See, we don't know how. And so it was founded so that we could get well through spirituality. I hope we all know that. I mean, really, AA was founded so that you and I could get well by being spiritual. A spiritual experience. You know what the word experience means? Action, huh? The word experience means action. When you have an experience, you act out something. So it says, listen, you'd like to get well, then have a spiritual experience. Okay. So it says, what is a spiritual experience? And it says, we will tell you. In the appendix, you turn to the appendix, page 569, perhaps the most important page and a half in the big book, and simply says this, that a spiritual experience is working this program over a period of time. That's all. That's what spiritual experience is. Working this program over a period of time. Now, you're not going to get the spiritual experience down the First Baptist Church. I'm very glad to announce. You know, and I visited Rome one time and I didn't get it there either. You know. So I'm sad to announce you won't get it in the Catholic Church either. That's something. You're not going to get it in the Jewish synagogue. You're not going to get it in the Mormon faith. You're not going to get it. You're going to get it working this program over a period of time. You know, for me, if I'm to reduce my program to one word, which I can't do, but if they said to me, you must pick one word to explain your program, that word for me would be time. Okay? That's what the word would be. If someone says you must explain it in one word, then I would explain my program to you or anyone else in time. And it was the one thing I didn't have coming in. You know, when I came into the program, the one thing I didn't have was time. I wanted it now. I'm tired of this pain and sickness and feeling bad and the loneliness and the terrible loneliness, terrible depression. I'm tired of it. I want rid of it. And they said, yeah, we know. That'd be all right. Okay, fine. That's okay. Don't worry about it. You just go to meetings. You'll be all right. What do you mean go to meetings? And I'd be, yeah, well, just keep going to meetings, see? And you'll be all right. And I began to learn, you know, that it's time. It's listening and hearing and time, time, time. So the spiritual experience, you know, that we all have to have, and all of us have to have it, every single one of us has to have a spiritual experience. And it's not something, you know, Father Martin says it here very well. He says the spiritual awakening is usually something that does not happen at a given period or moment in your life. It is a gradual change of oneself, a change that keeps going on and on. There it is. Right out of the big book he took that. You know, spiritual experience is working this program over a period of time. Now, what about religion? Haha. What about religion? You know, I used to work in the little treatment center and do a little spirituality, and they used to come in, they'd say, see me there standing in my black suit and my white collar doing a little spirituality a few mornings a week. I remember one poor lady came in, she was so sick, you know, and she saw me there and she told me this afterwards, she said to herself, now I know what I have to do to get well. I have to be a Catholic, you know? Well, you don't have to be a Catholic, you know? In fact, religion is something that we have to be very, very careful about. The word religion, you know, means to gather together for a purpose. That's what it means. Religio means coming together for a purpose. This is like a little religious group right here. We're here together for a purpose, you know? And like it's a very good thing. I do a little of it myself. I do a lot of it myself, actually, you know, a lot of religion in my life. So it's a sort of a very, very good thing to be religious. And I don't want you to go away thinking that it's not. It's a very, very good thing. But religion is not spirituality. And an awful lot of people are going to religion today to become spiritual. And they can't do it. Even if they are not drunks like you and me. I want to make that clear. But an awful lot of my parishioners come to Mass on Sunday, and I try to tell them, you will not get spiritual coming here if you're looking for it. See? You will not do that. We cannot make people spiritual. We cannot do that, you see. At least not through religion. I mean, you know, a lot of people come to religion to get themselves all dressed up, shave up, you know, put in a nice shiny nose, you know, put your hat on, and go and sit in the pew, and you think you're going to get spiritual. You know? And you're not. You're not. That's not what religion is supposed to do. You know? It's like, going to school to, it's like going to college to learn how to drive a car. You know, you need to go to an instructor to learn how to drive a car. Spirituality is all very different from religion. When we say you have to have a spiritual experience in our program, what we are saying is, you know, that you have to start living. Spirituality means to live. It doesn't mean to pray. Spirituality means to live. Well, you know, that's very interesting because, you know, the early Jews, they recognized something. They used to say, the Jews and the Greeks, they used to say that our life is in our breath. In here. Because when a man died, there was no breath in him. They said, look, the life is gone. So the life must be in the breath or in the spirit. See, breath and spirit are the same word. They say, where's the man's life? It's in his spirit. Because when he died, the spirit was gone. See? So spirituality, the word spirituality, means to live. It doesn't mean to be holy. It doesn't mean to pray. Spirituality means to live. When you are living your best, you're spiritual. See? When you are living your best, you're spiritual. I mean, you don't have to go to church. Now, I think it's a wonderful thing to do it. See? And you may too. But I know a lot of people who go to AA on Sunday morning, and they go there, and they don't want to go to church, and they feel good, and they're working well at their program, and I say to them, listen, don't change it. Leave it alone. You know? Now, I go to church. I need to go to church. I need to. But spirituality does not mean religion. I want to make that clear. Spirituality means to live. When you are living, then you are spiritual. So, when we live at our best in this program, we are spiritual. Now, to live what? That's the thing. Yes. To live what? And of course, AA steps in and says, live honest, live open, live willing, live kind, live prayer in your life, live the higher power, live sponsorship. AA steps in and just doesn't say to us, oh yeah, it's okay to live. Yeah, we'll live and we'll be fine. Uh-uh. AA gets very specific with us. It says, hey, you must live honest. The guy who lives honest one day at a time gets well. The guy who does not live honest one day at a time, he does not get well. It's that simple. Anyone can do it. Third grade can do this. Third grade can do it. Sometimes they do it better than we do it. It's just a very simple little thing. You know, I don't mind people coming and saying to me, I don't want spirituality. Sometimes people say that. I don't mind that. I really don't like to hear people say, I don't understand how to be spiritual, because it's easy. It's awfully easy. All you have to do is to live honest. And you're spiritual in our program. It's terrific. You know? That's all you have to do, is to be able to look at yourself in the mirror every day and say, hey, I like you. You know, when I was drinking, I used to have to put a towel over the mirror. That's almost true. I used to have to get this towel and put it over the mirror because I didn't like me. I didn't like what I was doing. I didn't like what I had become, and that, I tell you, was hard to carry around for anybody, but maybe especially for someone like me. It was kind of hard to carry around. Now I can look in the mirror, and I pretty much like what I see. You know, not all, you know, still some things in there I don't like. But for the most part, I like what I see. I like me. What's the most important thing in the world? The most important thing in the world is for me to like me. Because if I don't like me, how are you going to like me? And if you don't like me, I'm in a lot of danger of drinking again. I'm going to say, well, they don't like me. Why don't people like me? I remember I used to sit in the rectory, you know, and I would be sitting alone, feeling very alone, saying, you know, it's funny, in the next parish, the pastor there is liked by his people. I'm here, and they just don't like me. You know, the phones were ringing, people asking me to dinner all the time, people, you know, friendly to me all the time. I didn't feel liked, though. I didn't feel that. Of course I was liked, I just didn't feel it. You know? And I have to drink that. I have to try and kill that feeling, that pain. I have to try and do it. See? See? We have to... It's tremendously important that we understand, you know, that we have to like ourselves. And once we like, the most important person in the world for me to like is me. Once I like me, I'm fine. Then I can let you go. If you don't like me, that's fine. Let you go, you know. Let him go. Let go, let God. We say that all the time, you know. Freedom, 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 freedom. It's so wonderful, you know. Happy, joyous, free, the big book says, huh? What do we need in our life? We need to be happy, joyous, free. And that's what we're looking for. You do that only by liking yourself, you know. And I used to hate myself. When you like it, when you're able to look in that mirror and look at yourself and say, yes, I like that, then that's fine. That's good living. What is spirituality? Spirituality means to live. You know, every single page of this, they talk about life. Even this morning, you know, it says here, the more you try to live in the consciousness of the unseen world, the gentler will be your passage into it. But every single page on this book talks about living, being alive. You know, it's terrific. It's very, very simple. Spirituality means to live. It does not mean to pray. Okay? Now, how do I reach the higher power? People ask me this all the time about reaching out to the higher power. How do I get in touch with the higher power? And I have a little theory about this that I work for myself all the time. And that is, you know, as I say, in the beginning, a lot of people come to the program and say, no, not God stuff. Don't give me that God stuff, you know? Well, and of course our program says the higher power as you understand it. It's so beautiful. It gives it, puts it straight into your lap. The higher power as you understand him. It's very important for us all, you know. Well, you know, they come to me and say, well, you know, that God stuff. And I always say, listen, don't worry about God. You need to, if there's a wall between you and God, build it up a little bit higher, a little thicker. Make sure you got that wall up there in front, you know. Don't worry about God. You know, God's okay. We're always trying to do something to God. I don't like God. Well, God's okay. He doesn't mind you not like him. He'll manage, you know. He'll be okay. You know, he's going to get by. Don't worry about it. Or you want to say, my God is better than yours. Oh, okay, fine. If you want to make God bigger than he really is, that's fine too. Okay. We're always trying to do things to God. You know, God will be fine. He was all right yesterday. He'll be okay tomorrow. He's fine whether we, you know, take notice of him or not. You know, I'm not going to pray to God. Well, God will be okay. He'll manage. So build that wall up between you and God. And, you know, make it thick, make it big, you know, build that wall up. And get into you. Don't get into God. Get into you. You know, instead of wondering whether God loves you, get into yourself and say, listen, am I an honest person? Am I a decent person? No. Am I willing person? Someone said, you know, the distance, said to me this week, the distance for sobriety may be this long. We have to travel that length to get to sobriety. Willingness. If you have willingness, you've already gone half the way. And God steps in and goes the rest. Beautiful. See? You know, it may be this far that you have to travel to be sober. If you have willingness, you've already gone 50% of the way. So you get into yourself. You don't get into God. You get into you. And you say to yourself, am I willing? Am I honest? Am I open? And a wonderful miracle takes place. God shows up. You know, God shows up. When you get into yourself, God shows up. And he's not always the guy with the long beard and all that. You know, he's a very loving God. You know, a priest I know up in Michigan who is in the program describes God this way. It's so beautiful. He says, the description, the perfect description of God is, remember me as forever loving you. Perfect description of God. Remember me as forever loving you. You know, not as you can be, not as you might be, not as maybe you'll turn out. God's not going to love you like that. God loves you as you are. You know, as you are. You know, when you're shoving the knife into my back, God loves you. You know? It's marvelous. God loves you as you are. Remember me. It's a great definition of God. Remember me as forever loving you. Just as you are. Like when we were in the middle of all those problems with our drinking. Drinking, you know, addiction is not a nice disease. Some people say, oh, your poor father, you know, he had a few drinks. He used to drink a lot. You know, people still say that, you know, father had a few drinks. So, well, father did a lot more than have a few drinks, let me tell you. There's not many of us got away with just having a few drinks. Not too many. You know, it destroys families and children, relationships. It makes us cheat. You know? Just think back on what it did to you. I like to think about addiction as like water coming under a door. Alcoholism is like water coming under a door where there's beautiful antique furniture and where there's cheap furniture. It just doesn't destroy the cheap furniture, you know? The water destroys everything in that room. Everything. Job gone. You know, my ideals that I built up from a young man in the seminary, gone. Just gone. You know, didn't care about my vocation, my vows, didn't make any difference to me. You know, alcohol just comes in and takes everything away on us. You know, that's what it does. It's not a nice disease. It'd be wonderful if it was nice, if you could just have a few drinks, get some treatment, go into AA and live your life forever, you know. But they come in, you know, we have a lot of guilt. How do I get rid of my guilt? You don't know what I did, they say to me. And I like to say to them, well, you don't know what I did either, you know. You want to trade off? You like to trade off, you know. Oh, you know, what about my guilt, you know? Well, again, I go back to what the big book says about that, you know. Everything is going to be all right if you work this program over a period of time. If the program goes, the guilt will diminish. The pain goes down. Don't forget that. If the program goes, the pain goes down. If the program does not go, the pain just gets bigger and bigger. How do I get rid of my guilt? You get rid of your guilt one day at a time. At least that's how I try to get rid of mine. Remember me as forever loving you. God loves you as you are, in your guilt, whatever you've done. God loves you, you know? I don't know if we look at God like that. You're like, I'm a Christian, and I can say this. I hope you won't mind my saying this. You know, as Jesus hung on the cross, there were two thieves, one on the left, one on the right. This is my faith. And the one, you know, the good thief said to him, remember me when you come to your king. He didn't say, forgive me. He didn't say, I'll never do this again. He didn't say, look, if I had the thing back, I wouldn't have done it. He didn't. All he said was, remember me. That's all. And you know, the Catholic Church says that Jesus Christ rose up and in that instant canonized that man. He said, this day you will be with me in paradise. And all he said was, remember me, you know? It's very simple. It's so simple. You don't have to beg or plead or go on your knees. You know, all you have to do is turn to God. What is prayer? Prayer is presence. You know, none of us, very few of us, ever get it. Very few. In the whole world, in the history of the world, how many of us really get the idea of prayer? How many? Only that many. Because prayer is not prayers. Our prayer is not words, and it's not religion, and it's not a sect, and it's not being Christian, Jewish, anything else. You know, prayer is presence. When I'm present to God. You know, when I can look at the old man, a holy man, they said to him one day, he said, how do you pray? And the old man said, look, I look at him, and he looks at me. Prayer is presence. You know, you're in the presence of the Almighty. My God, you know that. That's prayer. You got it. And it's an instant. It's not that long. Or that long. It might be. It might be 3 days. You know? Or it might be an instant. A flash. Just a flash. Prayer is present. That's what it is. What are you doing for your program every day? I'm praying. I hope you're praying. You know, I hope you're turning to the higher power every day. How do you do that? Well, you do it anyway. Do you do it the best way you can? Huh? You do it, but you live prayer every single day in your life. You look for that prayer. And it's not a religious thing. It's a presence. You know, some of us reach it in an instant and we go on. Some of us don't. But we have to do it. Remember me as forever loving you. So you turn to God. You know, that's what the program says. You turn to God. Prayer is present. You know, like, what is love? You know, we have to live love every day. Love is my leading you, Buscalius says. Leo Buscalius, so well. Love is my leading you back to who you are. That's what love is. Love is my leading back. You know, if you're not who you are, you're no good. I can't love you unless you are who you are. You know how we drink? We hide who we are, you know. Or we're not telling who I love. I'll try and be Clark Gable, or I'll try and be, I'll try and be cool, or I'll try and be... I heard a guy saying the other day at a meeting, it was terrific. He said, you know, when I was drinking all my life, I was trying to be cool. And he says, I'm not a cool man. I'm not cool, you know. That's not my nature to be cool. I'm just me. It was great to hear it, you know, because we're always trying to be somebody or something else when we're drinking. And they can't love you if you're something else. Say, well, if I get a dye for my hair, they'll love me, you know. If I get my hair dyed blonde, I'll be terrific. You know, if I grow a mustache or if I, if I get contacts, can't see, you know. If I get contacts, you know, people will love me, you know. Trying to, you know, that's not... Whether you have contacts or not makes no difference. It's you. Who are you that we love? You know, love is my leading you back to who you are. We have to live that. Spirituality says we have to. Now we're talking about being spiritual in the program. This is a spiritual program. What is the solution? The solution is a spiritual experience. What's a spiritual experience? Living this program over a period of time. That's what it is. So we're talking about spirituality. You have to know who the higher power is. You have to turn to the higher power in prayer. You have to live an honest life, a loving life. You know, words like care are very important to me in this program. You know, care, and the third step. The third step does not say that you turn your will and your life over to God. An awful lot of people think it does. It doesn't say that. It says that you turn your will and your life over to the care of God. For me, that's tremendously important because it means that He's looking for me. I don't have to be out there looking for Him. He's actually looking for me. Care, the word care in there, you know? It says, oh, you have to turn your life and your will over to God. That's not what the step says. It says that you turn your life and your will over to the care of God. Beautiful. God is looking for me, you know? Looking for me. And we find God, we find the higher power in each other. Sponsorship is another thing that we have to live. Well, you know, before this program was ever founded, sponsorship was founded. You know, when Bill was looking for someone to help him, you know, we all know the history. You know, he didn't say, I think I'll call a meeting of alcoholics. He didn't do that. He called up one, and he sat down, and he talked. And somewhere in talking to Bob, somewhere in there, the power to get well came through. And he had tried everything, you know. And like, isn't it funny how we all try everything? I tried shrinks, and I'm sure a lot of you did too, you know. I went to shrink, but then the shrink said, you know, you don't look like an alcoholic. It was terrific. It was good for another 3 or 4 weeks drinking, you know. He says, you don't look like an alcoholic. Oh, boy, I said, that's terrific, you know. And I went back to him again. He says, take these pills. You'll be all right. I said, I don't take pills. He says, these are not very addictive. You know? I said, I don't take pills. He said, these are free. Oh, I said, I'll take them. You know? So I took, you know. You know, sponsorship is tremendously important. You know, we all tried all these remedies. It's when we sit down with someone else, you know, and have that spiritual experience. That is, work the program with this other person. You sit down and you work the program. That's what you're doing. You know, sponsorship is so important. And you say to a guy, oh, you got a sponsor? Oh, yeah. He lives in Dallas. Yeah, I see him about every 3 years and we have a great old day. Oh, yeah, Sponsorship is so important, you know. I'm a great believer in temporary sponsors. If you haven't got a sponsor, say to someone, would you work with me as a sponsor over the next 3 weeks? That's all. And after that, that's it. Okay, fine, yeah, great, okay. Call each other every day for 3 weeks. That is wonderful sponsorship. I'm a great believer in temporary sponsorship. You know, because a lot of us go out there and we get a sponsor and you say, oh, I'm stuck. I got this guy now. I can't stop. You know, and you feel, you know, he doesn't work out and you feel you have to have him. You know, and all of a sudden, and you know what you end up doing? Not having any sponsor. And this program was founded on sponsorship. Bill called Bob. They sat down. They talked. And they got well. Couldn't believe it. They tried everything else. They tried religion. They tried all kinds of clubs. They tried all kinds of sect. They tried shrinks. They tried all kinds of things and couldn't make it. They sat down together, two alcoholics, and power, tremendous power between the two of them. God working in, you know, they didn't even talk about religion, but God working between those two men. It's the same when I sit down and talk to you. God works between us. We are not a community of faith primarily. I can't emphasize that enough. That's so important to me. Primarily, we are a community of action. Here are the steps we took. We didn't see them, hear them, say them, teach them, play them. We took them. Here are the steps we took. So we have to sit, we have to take those steps, and we have to put them in front of us and take them every day. Take them. Put action into our lives. Lives. There's that word again. Life. You know? What is spirituality? Spirituality is living. It is aliveness. That's what it is. It's aliveness. This program brings so much back to us. You know, what has this program done for me? It's given me a lot of peace. You know, I was driving down here today, and I was looking at all, I haven't been down this way in years, and, you know, especially coming down the last way, over the bridges and seeing the water and all. It's wonderful, you know. I remember when I used to drive and I'd see nothing. No, like this. Yes, I drive like this all the time. No, see nothing. It's so wonderful to see things. And the clouds are beautiful today. I don't know if you saw the clouds today, but they're really like billows, you know, they're up there. It's wonderful. That's what this program is. It's living. This program is living. I see it, you know. I can remember my first fall when I was sober. I got sober in September, you know. I remember the first fall. And I saw the colors. So where were these colors last year? No, I didn't see them last year. There must have been no fall last year. Well, there was a fall the year before. I just didn't see them. Do you know what I mean? If you look around, you will see that is being spiritual. If I did nothing else, I am that means that my program is growing. My program in me is growing. Because I see things. It's beautiful, you know? I remember I went home one time to my mother, who was a widow for 40 years, and she just died last March. But, you know, I went home to see her in Ireland, and I was drinking at the time, and that was a problem for her, a big problem, you know. I'd walk in with all this duty-free booze. She'd say, "Who's that for?" Oh, I'd say, you know, my uncles, and well, I'd never got out of the house, you know. But I went home one time, we were driving around. Here I was home from, you know, from my assignment and on vacation. And she was so proud of me and all that. And we're driving along and she turned to me and she said, "You know, why are you so angry?" You know, it nearly killed me. You know, "Why are you so angry?" She said, "You know, I would rather you didn't come home at all if you're going to be angry like you are." And that nearly destroyed me. I mean, you know, I don't have memories of people saying, "Why are you so drunk?" I don't have a lot of memories of that. But I'll never forget my mother saying that to me. You know, "Why are you so angry?" That's what it did to us. It took our lives away. That's what it did to me, you know. And like, I said to her, "I am not angry." I nearly rammed the car into the next tree. And that made it, of course, when I thought back on that, you can imagine how bad that was. But it took away my life. I mean, I had no ability to be nice. I had lost my ability to be nice. No. I remember a fellow called me when I was working in this parish in Atlanta. And he called me up one day, a man who lived behind the parish, and there was a gate back there between our property and the road, and the gate was broken, and there was a couple of little pointy things sticking out of the ground. And he called me, and I'll never forget this. He said to me, "Father," he said, "some of the children are going to get hurt on that gate." And I said, "See our lawyer." You know, the man was only trying to be nice and tell me. But the anger that flowed from, you know, I said to him, "See our lawyer." I met the man after I got sober. And he said to me, "Father, you know," he said, "you're a nice guy." But he said, "The guy who was there before you, you know." I didn't tell him. I should have told him. I know I should have told him, but I didn't tell him. But you know, it took our life away. It took our life away. And you see, that's what the program puts back. It doesn't... I like to say this to people because I think it's true in my 5 years experience anyway. I've never met anyone with 2 feet in this program who wasn't successful. Anyone. I mean, success may be a dime in your pocket or maybe one pair of pants in your closet. But I've never met anyone in this program, 2 feet in the program, who wasn't successful. You may want $100,000 a year, and you may have the ability to have one. Well, fine, you'll have it. That's no problem. It's no problem if you've got both feet in this program. Because you're so satisfied that people say, hey, would you like a better job? Yeah, thanks a lot. Okay, fine. I mean, I've never met anyone who wasn't successful. Because it gives you your life back. And what's the meaning of life? That means you're a spiritual person. You're going around, you are an ambassador of God. Because you've got your life back. And everything's fine. I mean, you know, it's just great. You know, people get mad with you. And you say, fine, okay, go ahead, get mad at me. You mean you're not mad because I'm mad at you? No, I'm not mad. How do you do that? We do it through the program. That's how we do it. I mean, it's great. You know how you used to drive down the street and you hated the guy trying to get in front of you? You know, and you'd be... Now I have this wonderful feeling when a guy gets in front of me saying, okay, you know, he'll get there about 3 minutes before me, so go ahead, you know. I've got music to listen to anyway. I can't be bothered with you. You know? That's life. That's wonderful living. That's wonderful spirituality. Marvelous. You want to be spiritual? That's how you become spiritual. That's not me speaking, I promise you. You know, just read the appendix. You know, there is a solution. What's the solution? Spiritual experience. What's a spiritual experience? Working this program over a period of time. Well, I can't work the program. Third grade can work this program. Of course you can work it. Of course you can. All you do is get up and live your life one day at a time. And that sometimes I forget too, and I need my sponsor to say, hey man, come on, get going. And that's what we need. And we need that encouragement, you know? You need to get into yourself so that you find God. You won't find God above the blue. Listen, you won't find Him up there above the blue. You find God in you. You say to yourself, am I honest? Am I willing? Am I kind? Am I generous? Am I enjoying? Am I happy? Yeah, I'm happy. Then you're fine. And then you've got the program going. Do you see? And you do that one day at a time. And everything is marvelous. One day at a time is such a power because I know I'm running over and I'm going to stop now. But one day at a time is such a power. Because when you're depressed, don't you remember depressed? We all depressed like me. I'm the only one. Am I here? I was the only one this room depressed. Well, I was depressed. Let me tell you, I was so... But when you're depressed, you know, you think it's never going to pass. Never. This is never going to pass. And that's why you know, I used to wake up thinking revolver. No. I wake up in the morning thinking, I know how. Like the most difficult thing for me every day was to get my feet out of the bed onto the floor. That was the most difficult thing. I mean, you know, and like, I'll never forget those mornings, I hope, when I would struggle over to Mass and stand at the altar in a little church in downtown Atlanta in the ghetto. In a little church, I'd stand there hoping someone would come to Mass. I was felt so lonely. This is 6 in the morning. And hoping at the same time nobody would come. I mean, I'll never forget that. You know? And like you think, what I used to be standing there thinking was, I'm going to be like this tomorrow. And then the next day. And then the next. and I'll still be like this. And I saw no way out of that. You know, when someone said, you're an alcoholic, I said, that's too easy. There must be something harder than that. You know, cancer would have been nice. You know? So I used to wake up thinking. Now you see, I live my life one day at a time now, and even if I do get these bad days, I know they're going to pass. That's the power of living. That's the power of living. To be spiritual does not mean to pray. It means to live. But you will pray if you live. See? You will pray if you live. It's wonderful. See? Father Martin concludes this little thing that he wrote, and I want to read it. I think it's real nice. He said, It is my prayer that all of us who have been given another chance to live, it keeps popping up, that all of us who have been given another chance to live and to be free should above all else try with everything that is within us to live life as it should be lived. It's all over the place. Those of us who have been given another chance, that's you and I, see, that we should live life as it should be lived, so that we will indeed have something real and precious to pass on to one another. See? It's so beautiful. What I have, I pass to you, and what you have, I come looking for. And that is your wonderful new life that you express so well, that we all express so well as we come together at meetings. Thank you very much.